Today's sermon is based on a reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through
38.
Thank you. I didn't write it on here. It's been one of those weeks, as you know. Yes. But now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for your revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, one of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. God, may your spirit open our ears to hear your word speaking to us this day. So I trust you all had a merry and blessed Christmas and got lots of nice presents. Does your family have a tradition of opening your presents at Christmas? Is there a set time when everyone gathers and the presents are handed out? When I was growing up, my brothers and I would get out of bed at dawn on Christmas morning to find our particular presents in different chairs in the living room. We never waited for our parents to get up before we would attack our stacks. We dove right in. One year when Dan, my son, was little, I hid his presents all around the house, and that became the tradition we followed as he grew up. Then the present presentation became a scavenger hunt. I would write clues that led him to his hidden presents. So when presenting presents, timing is everything. When you're giving a special present, everything has to be perfect. All the conditions have to be just right. Most important, you want to make sure the proper people are present before you present the present. That's exactly what we see happening in today's scripture passage, the presentation of a special present, where timing is everything and all the conditions are just right, the proper people are present, and everything is perfect. Mary and Joseph brought the six-week-old Jesus to the temple to perform the customary rituals of circumcision and naming that would initiate Jesus into the life of a Jewish male. Mary and Joseph didn't expect anything out of the ordinary to happen that day. They were just doing the right thing as devout Jews. They had a firstborn son, and they had to perform the proper rituals as dictated in the law of Moses. All firstborn sons were deemed holy to the Lord in memory of the deliverance of the firstborn of Israel from destruction in Egypt. By bringing Jesus to the temple and having him circumcised as commanded, Mary and Joseph were acknowledging God's claim on their child. They were just ordinary parents doing the typical accepted thing for their child. They certainly weren't calling any attention to themselves, nor were they expecting anyone to notice them. After all, who would give much thought to a young couple whose poverty was evident in the fact that they offered two birds for the required sacrifice instead of two lambs? Who in Jerusalem would know about the extraordinary events that had taken place in Bethlehem at the child's birth? The stable, the angels, the shepherds. Now that all the hoopla was over, Mary and Joseph were settling into what they thought would be a normal family life. Perhaps they secretly hoped God had changed his mind and they could just be like any other couple celebrating the birth of a new baby. But of course, God had not changed God's mind about their child and his destiny. And to let Mary and Joseph know that, old Simeon came into the temple at the exact moment of Jesus' presentation. He came right up to them and took the baby from Mary's arms. Was Mary taken aback when Simeon reached out for Jesus? Did she resist handing her baby over to the stranger? Everybody wants their baby to be admired, to be cooed over and declared as the prettiest baby in the world. But what parent wants a stranger to grab their baby from them? My pastor, Bill McDonald, tells a lovely story each Christmas Eve about a family that stopped in a diner after a night of Christmas shopping. Their outgoing one-year-old son zeroed in on a raggedy, dirty old man sitting by himself in a booth, and he struck up a friendship with him, calling to the man, "Hi there, hi there," and waving at him and playing peekaboo and just having a great time. His parents were appalled that their baby was befriending this decrepit old man, and they decided to make a quick exit to get the child away from him. But in order to leave the diner, they had to pass the old man. As the mother tried to hurry past him, the baby flung his body towards his new friend. You know how babies do, they just flop over because they're certain they will be caught and cuddled. And the old man did catch the baby. He took the baby in his arms and held him tight against his smelly old coat and gave him a whiskery kiss. There were tears in his eyes as he whispered thank you to the baby's mother. Her own tears flowed as well, tears of shame for judging the old man and for trying to keep her child away from him. Perhaps the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that guided Simeon into the temple and to Jesus and his parents that day, perhaps that same Spirit whispered to Mary, "Don't be afraid. Don't hold Jesus away from this man. And listen, Mary, listen to what he is going to tell you." The Holy Spirit is very much a part of this story. Simeon had prayed for the Spirit to show him God's Messiah, and he had lived all these years believing the Spirit would answer his prayer. And indeed, the Spirit did. Simeon's name means hearing. Simeon heard the Spirit speak to him. He heard the Spirit quote the words from Amos, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." And so he had. Simeon heard the Spirit speak, telling him it was time. He had to go to the temple to be present when God's perfect present was presented. Simeon, of course, was overjoyed to be in the presence of God's present, to see with his own eyes the promised Messiah. It's always wonderful to find your heart's desire. And yet, even in his joy, Simeon held on to a realistic streak. The Spirit that inspired him to seek the truth also inspired him to speak the truth. Turning to Mary, Simeon spoke to her as a prophet inspired by the Spirit. Yes, this child would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He would be not just the Messiah of the Jews, but the Messiah of all people. This child would be the light of the world. And yes, this child would bring glory to Israel and glory to God and salvation to the world. And yet, this child was also destined for sorrow and pain and suffering and death. He would make many people in Israel angry. He would be opposed. He would be a target that people would shoot at, the literal translation of the word sign here. He would be executed as a criminal. Through this child, Israel would truly become a blessing to all nations, but not without cost, not without opposition, and not without conflict. Jesus' presence indeed would bring healing and hope and consolation to those willing to receive him, but he would also bring sorrow and arouse anger in others. Joseph and Mary marveled that Simeon, a perfect stranger, knew so much about the significance of this child. Mary's dreams for her son's life were like any mother's dreams, a happy, healthy childhood, an adventuresome but not too reckless youth, adulthood marked by career, marriage, and family, followed by an easy old age. But as we know, this was not to be the pattern of Jesus' life. Simeon's words to Mary seem to be an attempt to prepare her for this future. "And a sword will pierce your own soul too," he said. Her hopes and her dreams would be dashed, tied to a cross. Just as the sword would pierce Jesus' side, the anguish of losing her child and prior to that, witnessing his humiliation, would be a sword cutting through Mary's own soul. You might think we're jumping ahead in the story. Jesus is just out of the cradle, and here we are hanging him on the cross already? No, we're not jumping the gun. This precious present from God was not a present just for the present, but a present for the future. When my Uncle Neil opened his Christmas presents, he put on every article of clothing he received at once. My mother, his big sister, was always a little miffed about that. She'd ask, why are you putting that shirt on now? Why don't you wait? But for Uncle Neil, there was no time like the present to put on the present. His philosophy was, why wait? Simeon had waited all his life for this moment. Now it had come, and he was satisfied. Simeon was now ready to depart, to die. He wasn't sad about it at all. He was glad he had seen how God keeps God's promises. You are dismissing your servant, he said, even as he held in his arms God's ultimate suffering servant. At that moment, the gauntlet of service passed from one to another, from old to young. Simeon wasn't the only one who saw Jesus and recognized him for what he was. The old prophetess Anna knew too. Unlike Simeon, she didn't have to be led to the temple for this auspicious moment of meeting the Messiah. She was always there, always present before God, and the Spirit was always with her. The Spirit led Anna at this time to praise God for sending this precious present. And then, unable to keep the good news to herself, Anna hurried out into the highways and byways to proclaim the arrival, the advent of God's Savior. It was a natural reaction. I remember how at Christmas, after opening my presents, I'd go next door to my best friend Donna's house to see what she had gotten. And we couldn't wait to show each other our presents. And then we couldn't wait to go to school and tell everybody what we'd received for Christmas. It's a natural reaction. Whenever you get a great present, you want everyone to know about it. That's what Anna was doing. The greatest gift, the best present of all, had been given to the world. What everyone had been waiting for had arrived at last. It was now present in the world. It's kind of ironic that two very old people were the first to recognize God's salvation had arrived. As their lives were drawing to a close, a new era was beginning. The era of the law and the prophets had passed because this newborn child would grow up with his sinless, faithful life. He would fulfill and complete all the law and all the prophets. He would present to us a new era, a new way of thinking and living and being. The most devout people under the old era, Simeon and Anna, are now the most receptive to the new era. They rush to greet and honor and praise Jesus to show that we must not forget the law and the prophets, but we must see them now embodied in Jesus Christ. Notice who was not in the passage, not present at the temple to welcome Jesus. No priests or other temple officials, just this old couple who apparently had no families, and this young couple just beginning their family. These old servants of God and this new servant of God. What a gladsome gathering. The title of this sermon is actually, since we're all present, there's no time like the present to present the present. At the right time, in the right place, God presented a precious present to the world, the gift of a Savior who would die on the cross for us. Sometimes we wonder why God sent Jesus way back then and there, 2,000 years ago in an obscure little country. It had to do with timing, with God's timing. God, the ruler of the universe, knew the time was right then for Jesus to appear there. At that present time, Simeon held the future in his hands. The old was leaving. The new was just coming into being. The work of the one was done. The work of the other was just beginning. The old blessed the new as it passed on its torch. The present made his presence known. It was not just a present for the Jews. It was a present for the entire world, a promise of comfort and restoration and salvation for all of us, those in the past and us now in the present and always in our future. This is the present that outshines all other presents. No matter what you got this year, God has given you a better present, the gift of Jesus Christ, wrapped up in love and hope and joy and peace, holding in him salvation and eternal life. It's up to you to decide whether you want to open this particular present or just leave it lying there. It's up to you to decide either to embrace him as Simeon did and sing his praises as Anna did, or leave him for another time. But remember, there's no time like the present to open the present God has presented. Let us pray. Spirit of God, guide us in this new year. May we come into your presence and find Christ, your perfect present. May we greet him with open arms and gather him close to our hearts with love and joy, just as our brother Simeon did. May we go out into the world and tell everyone that a Savior has been born, just as our sister Anna did. Lead us to the places where we need to go, places where we can see Jesus and gather him to us. We give you thanks for this most precious present, a present that is not only for this time, but for all time, a present from the past that gives us hope for the present and brightens our future. Amen.